This is the first message. I also want to introduce to you what the sevenfold will of God is. And what is this sevenfold will that we are going to look at in the book of Jonah throughout this camp? Now, the sevenfold will of God can be divided into five subcategories. Okay, so there are sevenfold will. There are seven aspects to God's will. That's why we call it the sevenfold will of God. But it can be divided into five subcategories. Four subcategories. Okay, four subcategories. The first subcategory is what we call the general aspect of God's will. Okay, so this will include both the preceptive will as well as the desiderative will. Now, preceptive will comes from the word precepts, and precepts refers to the word of God. How do you spell it? Preceptive. Okay, preceptive. Preceptive. Okay, that is the preceptive will of God. If you don't know how to spell it, you ask your teachers, okay? So the preceptive will of God, okay, that refers to the precepts. And the precepts describes the word of God, how God reveals his will to us in his word. Okay, so this is the first aspect of God's will that falls under the subcategory of this general category of God's will. And then another aspect of this general subcategory is what we call the desiderative. Now, this comes from the word desire. Okay, you know how to spell desire, right? So it's D-E-S-I-R-E, that's desire. Okay, but then desiderative is spelled D-E-S-I-D-E-R-A-T-I-V-E. Oh yeah, good idea to write on the board. Okay, any volunteers? No, I mean, it's okay. I think y'all can follow, right? Desiderative. If not, we'll ask teacher Brian to, write on the board for you. Okay, but I think y'all can follow, okay? Desiderative. It comes from the word, the desire. So the desiderative will of God will describe what God's desires for us are. And what is God's desire? And of course, we will look at this in greater detail, but later on, we will see how God's desire is for the salvation of the lost. Okay, so that is the desiderative will of God. What is God's desire as revealed to us in His Word? Okay, so these two aspects of God's will falls under the general subcategory. And then the next subcategory is what we would call the specific. Okay, the specific aspect of God's will. And under the specific subcategory, there are three different aspects of God's will. There is the directive will of God. Okay, this one easy. Okay, directive means how God directs, how God leads. And when God directs and when God leads, He directs very clearly. And that is how God reveals His will for us in a very personal, in an individual way. And where for you, your life, where God wants you to be, what God wants you to do, He will direct, and He will direct clearly. And that's what we are going to see also in the book of Jonah, the directive will of God. And together with this directive will of God, then comes the cooperative will of God. Cooperative, C-O-O-P-E-R-A-T-I-V-E. Cooperation. And this aspect of the cooperative will of God describes how when you obey God's directive will, now God will continue to lead you. You fall under the cooperative will of God, where the Bible says, in the example of Abraham's servant, I being in the way, that means I was in the same way as the Lord has led me, then the Lord directed me, the Lord led me. So when you fall under the cooperative will of God, it is very wonderful. It describes how the journey will be very pleasant. Now, pleasant, not in the sense that there are no obstacles or troubles, but it will be very pleasant because you know that the Lord is very happy with you and the Lord is with you. And so that is the cooperative will of God. Where when you are obeying God's will, you are walking in the will of the Lord, then the Lord will be very pleased with you. And you will have peace in your heart. That's the cooperative will of God. Another aspect of the very specific subcategory is also known as the punitive or the chastitative will of God. Okay, chastitive will of God is actually a word. This word chastitive was coined by Reverend Timothy Toh. Okay, I think that this is a word that's not found in the dictionary, because when you type in the word document, then they will underline it. In fact, actually, quite a lot of the other words also, they underline. Okay, but chastitive comes from the word to chastise. Okay, so it's spelled C-H-A-S-T-I-T-I-V-E. Okay, when you are chastised, when you are disciplined. Now, punitive will comes from the word to punish. Okay, now the difference between punitive and chastitive is that for punitive, we apply only to unbelievers. Whereas for chastitive, for chastisement, is applied to believers. Okay, so now, what is this aspect of God's will? Earlier, we see in the cooperative will of God, when you obey God's directive will, you fall under the cooperative will of God, where you will have the blessing of the Lord's presence with you, you have the blessing of peace, you have the blessing of the joy of the Lord. But when you fall under the chastitive will of God, it means you disobey God's directive will. You will not fall out of God's will, but what will happen is you fall under an aspect of God's will where now you have to experience the discipline of God, the chastisement of God. Where through this chastisement, because God is your loving Father, He will use it to direct you back to His will, to the right way. Okay? So this is known as the chastitive will of God. Right? So there are these two subcategories, the general and the specific. Then there's another subcategory, what we would term and call the extraordinary. And the extraordinary aspect of God's will, falling under this extraordinary aspect is what we would call the permissive will of God. Okay, the permissive will of God, permissive comes from the word permission, right? So P-E-R-M-I-S-S-I-V-E. Okay, that's the permissive will of God, where sometimes you may ask the question, why is there evil in this world? Why does God allow the wicked to exist in this world? And why does God allow criminals, bad people, to do many wicked and terrible things? Is it because God is no longer in control? Then this is where this aspect of the permissive will of God comes in. Where God, according to His own sovereign will and wisdom, He permits. Now, permits does not mean approve. Okay? He does not condone these actions or behavior, but He permits, He allows these things to happen. And He allows even bad things to happen to His children. For example, Job. When Satan wanted to tempt Job, and Satan afflicted Job, then God permitted Satan to touch the well-being, his family of Job, even the health of Job. That is the permissive will of God. What God allows and what God permits. And that is what we call the permissive will of God. So this will fall under the extraordinary aspect of God's will. Okay, then the last one. Okay, the last subcategory is what we call the predetermined. What has been predetermined? Okay, the predetermined subcategory has one aspect of God's will, which is what we would call the decretive will of God. D-E-C-R-E-T-I-V-E. Okay, the decretive will of God. The decretive will of God comes from the word decree. When a king issues a decree, okay, when a king issues an edict, okay, when he now pronounces, this is my command, this is my will, that is the decretive will of God. Now, when we describe the decretive will of God, we call it the predetermined, and it's also a mysterious aspect of God's will. Because this is an aspect of God's will which we can never fully understand, which we can never fully comprehend. The decretive will of God, for example, is how God said in the Bible that Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now, why did God choose Jacob and not Esau? Was it because Jacob was fairer? Was it because Jacob was smarter? Was it because Jacob was better? Was it because Jacob was good? We know that that's not the reason at all. So why did God choose Jacob and not Esau? And why did God choose you to be His child? and not someone else. This is the decretive will of God. It is a mysterious aspect of God's will which we can never fully comprehend. And all the Bible says is that it is according to his own good pleasure. Okay, the decretive will of God. So, Reverend Toh, now, so if you remember the sevenfold aspect, the sevenfold will of God, okay, the seven aspects of God's will, Reverend Toh illustrates this sevenfold will like a clock. Okay, and we must learn to read the time of God's will. So we must learn to read the time of God's will where God reveals his direction for you, where God reveals his desire for you or for unbelievers. Okay, where God now reveals through his precepts, and then you obey, you fall under his cooperative will. So all these aspects would be like a clock where you learn to read the right time. But then there is the mechanism, okay, behind the clock. We're not talking about digital clock, okay, because digital clock only has a battery. But if you look at mechanical watches, okay, or mechanical clocks, then they have a very complicated mechanism behind it. And normal people will not be able to figure out, understand how these things work, unless you are the watchmaker. Okay? So the mechanism that's behind this watch or this clock is like the decretive will of God. Okay? We are not able to see behind, to understand the mechanics of how everything works. But we can read the time. And that's one thing that we must realize when it comes to understanding the will of God. Because when we think about discerning the will of God, there may be questions that we have. Like even Jonah, we are going to see in a moment, he had questions. Okay, so there may be questions which we have, but God may choose not to answer these questions. And now you must accept the will of God, even though you may not understand why God has willed it like that. For example, the context, okay, this is what we are looking at this morning, in the context of Jonah. What God has asked Jonah to do is, he has called Jonah to go to Nineveh. Now, where is Nineveh? I'm sure you all grew up in Sunday school, so you all know, right? So where is Nineveh? Anyone? Where is Nineveh? I mean, not today. Of course, today if you think about where Nineveh is today, then I don't think it... I don't know whether it exists today, okay? But where is Nineveh? Who is a group leader? Who is the group leader of Nero? Who is the group leader of Nero? Huh? Oh, Ruel. Okay, Ruel. Do you know where is Nineveh? Come on. Make it more exciting. Okay, he's trying to look at his Bible. Okay, then let's try the Broadway. Who is the group leader of Broad? Okay, sorry, what's your name?
Ethan.
Eden. Huh?
Dylan.
Oh, Dylan. Okay, Dylan, where is Nineveh? Anyone knows? Okay, who over here is graduating from teens? This is very easy. Oh no. Okay, maybe, you know, you have to go through Sunday school class again. Because I'm sure that some Sunday school children, you know, Ethan, do you know where is Nineveh? No, is Ethan here? No, Ethan is not here. Ethan's brother, Yen. Do you know where is Nineveh? Don't know. Saint June, do you know where is Nineveh? Okay, how about the sisters? I only know a few, okay? Hee-en or Hee-shen? Don't know. Okay. Alright, never mind, then I'll just tell you. Okay, Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. Alright? Okay, so think about this. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. Okay, so, now who were the Assyrians? Now the Assyrians were a very wicked people. They were very vicious people. They were very covetous, greedy people. That's why they were actually conquering lands. Okay? So at this point in Jonah's ministry, we believe that the Assyrians, they were now just increasing in power. Okay, they were growing in power and influence. They have not destroyed Israel yet. But Jonah already knew that these Assyrians, they were a very wicked people. And now what God has done is that he has commanded Jonah to go to Assyria, to go to Nineveh, a very wicked people, to preach to them, to save them. And Jonah could not accept it. He could not understand why God would send him to these wicked people to save them. Why will God ask him and use him and call him to go into a place that's so dangerous, to go to a place that's so uncomfortable, that's so inconvenient, and he does not want to go? Why would God ask him to do that? And Jonah could not understand. He could not accept it. And that is the context of the book of Jonah. And so earlier we were saying that, you know, when we think about the will of God, one thing we must understand is that we may not be able to fully understand why God works his will in certain way. But it is not God's purpose for us to understand everything all the time. What God desires of you and me is to obey. Even when you cannot fully comprehend or understand why. And that's one of the struggles that actually many Christians, young and old, go through. They always want to know why. We always want to know why God leads us like that, why God directs us that way, why God allows this to happen. Because we want to be in control over our own life. We want to be in control over our future. Right? That is what we want. And that is the problem with us. But what we are going to learn in the book of Jonah is we have to submit to God's will. And God's will is the best. You know, God, as a loving father, he will not plan your life for you in a way where it will be bad for you. And the way he will direct your life, it will always be the best for you. And you must trust in God's will. Okay, so what we're going to learn today now will be these two aspects of God's will. The preceptive will of God, okay, which falls under the general subcategory. And then the directive will of God, which will fall under a more specific subcategory. Okay, the preceptive will of God, where we see now God, how God revealed his will to Jonah. Right? So the first thing I want us to consider, okay, in our text today is that when God reveals his will, he reveals clearly. When God reveals his will, he reveals clearly. And that's what you see now in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. Okay? And you notice here the Bible says that this is the word of the Lord that came. Okay, and you may say that this is the preceptive will because it points to the word of the Lord that was given to Jonah. Now, of course, there's a difference, okay, between the word of the Lord that is given to Jonah and the word of the Lord that's given to us today. Okay, the difference is that for us, the Bible is completed. For Jonah, the Bible or the scriptures were not completed yet. Okay, he did not have the 66 books of the Bible like us today. That was why God still revealed to him progressively. Okay? God still revealed to the Old Testament saints progressively, where by and by, slowly, they would have more and more of God's word. Okay? They would understand more and more of God's will. Okay? But for us today, we have the word of God already complete. Now, and when we think about the preceptive will of God, so let's go into more detail. We are now thinking about God's commands as well as God's moral instructions taught to us in his word. And this was what David said in Psalm 119, verse 89 to 105. Okay, you just turn to Psalm 119, verse 89 to 105. Psalm 189 to 105. Okay. I mean, this is a whole passage that describes the word of God. In fact, if you look at Psalm 119, the whole Psalm 119, it describes the word of God. Every verse there contains a word that is used to describe the word of God. The word can be statutes, the word can be judgment, okay. The word can be word, Right? So all it, every verse will have a word that is used to describe the word of God. It will not read through the whole portion, but you can just look at a few verses. Right? If you look, for example, at Psalm 119, verse 101, the Bible says that I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. In 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. And so this is the preceptive will of God. Then you look at 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So this is the preceptive will of God, where the precepts, okay, the Bible will now show us what God's will is. And it will show us what God's will is either through very clear commands or through principles that we can draw from scriptures. Now, this is one thing that I'd like teens to understand. Probably, as you all go through teens and later on when you all go through the years of your youth, one thing that will always come to your mind is the question of how to discern God's will. Or, you know, you have questions like seeking God's will. You know, how do I know what the will of God is? How do I know what to do next? Right, like some of you are finishing... Teens is what? Secondary school, is it? Or is it primary school? No, there are primary school coming to secondary school, right? Right, that's why they are like those... They all just finished primary school at the back, right? Okay, because I taught you at church camp. Okay, so then from primary school, you're coming to secondary school. Then you will ask, which secondary school to go to? Correct? Things like that. Then next time, when you all grow older, you ask similar questions. Which, from the secondary school, then after secondary school, where should I go? What should I do? Okay, then after that next phase of life, you can ask the next question again, whether you are in Poly, JC, or ITE, then you're going to ask, you know, what do I study next? Do I do, like, science, or math, or geography, or sports, or YouTube? You know, like YouTuber. Okay, you know, YouTuber, right? YouTuber is now a career path, correct? That's what some children told me. Okay, that time I can't remember which children camp I taught. I said, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Then someone said, YouTuber. Okay, so I do not know whether the person has changed his mind because I tried to tell him why he should not be a YouTuber. And not only is it not practical, but it's very self-centered. Because a YouTuber, you got to keep taking video, then you go around, take vlogs, right? You know, look at me, I'm brushing my teeth. Then look at me, I'm washing my face. You know, this is my product that I use to comb my hair, all these kind of things, right? That's what a YouTuber do. There's not so much attention on yourself. Should a Christian do that? Okay, things like that. So you're now trying to discern, okay, what should I want? What do I want to do? What do I want to be when I grow up and all these things? This is all discerning God's will. Now the preceptive will of God is the word of God. Okay, in either clear command or through principles that will tell us already that there are certain things that you must do. There are certain things that you should be as a Christian. There are certain ways where you should live as a Christian. And there are certain things that you must not do. Certain things which you must not be as a Christian. These are very clearly revealed to us already in either clear principles or in command. Okay, so for example, you know, when you take the example of the YouTuber, the preceptive will of God reveals to us, you know, that can a Christian be a YouTuber like that, be an influencer like that? You know, every time taking OOTD, if you all still have OOTD? OOTD, okay. I don't know why it's the ladies, yes, OOTD. Then the guys, like, what's OOTD? So you all have to educate the guys a bit more, okay? So, okay, the OOTD is, they say, outfit of the day, right? Like every day, they will take photo and say, look at my outfit and all this thing. And you know it's influencers, right? Influencer. It's like a flu, right? That's influencer. Is it, how is the right pronunciation? Influencer. Influencer. Okay, the influencer, right? Now, who are the influencer? Okay, they are the Instagrammers, right? Then they're very popular, they dress and all these kind of things, and then, you know, they advertise, they get sponsorship from like makeups or dress and shoes and all these things. Then they say that, you know, I'll post all this because I got how many 100,000 followers. If you have 100 followers, nobody want you. Okay, so 100,000 followers and things like that. Now, why Christians cannot do this? Because the principles of God's word reveals to us all this is about self, centers on self. Right, this is very narcissistic. Right, narcissistic is now where there's a lot of love for self. And the Bible tells us to deny self. Now you just want the whole world to look at you. Look at me, see how I dress. Look at me, see how I'm so popular. Look at me, see how I'm following the fashion of the world. Because if you try to dress as how a Christian would, maybe you say that, I want to be a Christian influencer. Okay, then I will be very proper, I will dress very modestly. I will dress in a way which will glorify Christ. No one will follow you. Alright? No one will follow you. So how? I mean, there are these clear, obvious reasons, okay, about being an influencer and a YouTuber that just contradicts the Word of God and the revealed will of God. That just shows you that this is not how and where God will lead you. Jesus, when you all think now about, I want to discern God's will, I want to seek God's will, you first go to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God reveal to you? And how does the Word of God show you where you must go, what you must do? And you don't contradict the will of God. You know, the will of God is not complicated or confusing. The problem with us is that we make it complicated and confusing because we always want to search an aspect of God's will which we like. So when God says that you must now go, like Jonah, okay, go to Nineveh, the word of God was revealed to Jonah. Then for us, we say that this doesn't sound very nice to me, I don't like it. So I want to keep searching for an aspect of God's will and keep discerning God's will. But you keep searching and searching and searching and you will never find why, because God has already revealed, but His will is not what you want. Right? What God's will, which is revealed to you, is not what you like and not what you want. And now it's no longer a problem of whether God's will is clear or not clear. The problem is whether you will obey. And I believe that more often than not, that is actually the problem with many of us. Now, I agree, I do understand. Okay, don't get me wrong. There is a place for the discerning of God's will. It is true, when you're finished primary school, you come to secondary school, when you finish secondary school, you go to the next phase of life, when you all start work, there is definitely a place for now discerning God's will. And if you are sincerely, okay, trying to seek God's will, what is your will for me that I may obey, that's fine. Okay, there is definitely a place for that. But we're talking about now those who keep seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking because God has revealed, but they don't like it. They don't want it. It's not what they want to submit to. Then there's a problem. So when you now think about God's will, you think first about what is God's preceptive will. Now, in time, next time you're also going to, you know, seek relationship. Right? Girlfriend, boyfriend, all these things like that. Okay? I do not know why some of you like, yeah, you frown. Hey, girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, maybe now you say that, yeah, I cannot imagine, I want to be attached and things like that, but next time, one day, okay, you are going to go through that. Then again, the preceptive will of God will guide you. You know, who are those whom you should seek to be your life partner? Okay, to marry. There are certain clear principles, there are clear precepts that will show you already. For example, very clearly, the Bible says that do not be unequally yoked. Yeah, and what does it mean to not be unequally? Of course, that verse does not apply primarily or solely to marriage. Okay, the verse applies to biblical separation in the life of a believer. But then in application, okay, to marriage, then what does that mean? To not be unequally means you should not marry someone who serves a different God, who is not a believer. Okay, and not just who serves a different God and not a believer, but even if he's a believer, if he has a different conviction, a different understanding of the gospel, a different understanding of the word of God from you, that is also being unequally yoked. So for example, charismatics. No, can you be in a relationship with the charismatic? The word of God will reveal all these precepts very clearly to you. Okay, so the first aspect that we want to look at, okay, the first thing we want to look at today is when God leads and when God directs. He leads and directs very clearly through His Word. But then, together with that, okay, following up on that, then is also the second aspect. When God leads and when God reveals His will, not only does He reveal very clearly through His Word, now God will also lead and direct you step by step, one step at a time, where He wants you to go, what He wants you to do. And this is what we will call the directive will of God. Because now the Word of the Lord came, very general, very broad. But what did the Word of God say? And how did the Lord direct Jonah? In fact, you know, it's not restricted to this verse. When you see God's directive will, okay, I've included that in this verse because this is the text that we have chosen for our message. But when you look at the directive will, I want you to look at the whole life of Jonah. Okay, the whole testimony of Jonah is an unfolding of the directive will of God. When now God told Jonah, go up to Nineveh, that great city. And then in the providential hand of God, even when Jonah tried to run away from God, you see how God will direct and bring Jonah back to His will. And then later on, how the Lord will also reassure Jonah again and send Jonah a second time that Jonah would fulfill the will of God to go to Nineveh. When you look at the directive will of God, don't just look at one specific incident, but you look at the whole picture. Of course, the problem with us, and you know, because we are human beings, we are unable to see the whole picture all the time. Oftentimes, it is only on hindsight, when we look back, we can actually really see the directive will of God, the hand of the Lord. Okay? And it's not just in the life of Jonah, but in the life of men like Daniel. The one verse that always encourages me is how the Bible says that the Lord gave. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord gave. That's the directive will of God, where the Lord, in that case, the Lord allows and the Lord permits. But you see how the Lord leads and the Lord directs. And this is what we call providence. Okay? So look at this now in verse 2. The Bible says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, Jonah does not know what lies ahead. Okay, what will happen when he goes to Nineveh? Jonah will not know whether the people will be converted or not, whether the people will persecute him or not, whether the people will stone him or not. He does not know all these things. But the directive will of God is that when God shows you one step, you take and you don't worry about the rest. You notice here, God did not tell Jonah everything that will happen from this point on. God did not tell Jonah how the people will respond. God did not tell Jonah what will happen to him. God has not told Jonah how long he must be there. All he knew was that God said, you, Jonah, arise and you go. You just take this next step and then you trust the Lord to lead you the step after and the step that comes after that. This is the directive will of God. You just take one step when the Lord shows you, and then you go. And you know, this aspect of God's will is actually very wonderful. It makes your life very, I wanted to say simple, but it's not simple in the sense that it's, you know, just very, like, uninteresting. Okay? But it is simple in the sense that it will not be complicated. When God shows you one step, the step that is already very clear, you just take. Then what lies ahead when you do not know, you don't worry about that yet. See, the problem with many of us is that when God has already revealed this part of God's will for us, that you know where God wants you to be right now, we want to run ahead of God. We are too eager. And then we want to now find out, Lord, can you please show me 5 years, 10 years into the future so that I can make sense of now this one step. But Jonah didn't have to know all these things. All he needed to know is that God told him to go to Nineveh. And then he had to trust in the Lord to provide. Now what will happen next? The Lord will provide and the Lord will take care of him. So even for you, know where God wants you to be now. And when God has showed you where he wants you to be now, you do the best. You obey him. You follow him where he has shown you where he wants you to be now. Then next time, know where you will be, what will happen to you, you don't worry. You trust in the Lord. Again, you see, the problem with men is we like to control. Right? So some of us, we think very far ahead. Maybe you say, when I grow up, I want to be... So what do you want to be? Okay, there was a tennis player in the teens camp the last time, okay, but he was not here today. He's not here today. So okay, I'll use him as an illustration because he's not here. I don't know whether you all know him also. Okay, so you say, I want to be a professional tennis player when I grow up. Then now you plan your whole life in that direction. Okay, you are going to work very hard for that in the future. And then you're thinking, okay, 10 years later, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Okay, so you work your whole life to that direction. Okay, you plan very hard for that. But are you really able to control everything that comes in between? And then you now are very fixed and you say that, no, I will not do anything else, I will not go anywhere else except that. But are you sure? Because you cannot see even the next step. Then what makes you think that you can see 10 years ahead? So some people, they say, oh, I got a lot of foresight, I can predict, I can anticipate. But really, can you anticipate all these things in the future? Now, I'm not saying that we cannot plan, okay? Don't get me wrong, because the Bible does tell us that, you know, in the Lord Jesus Christ's parable about the faithful servant, he had a foresight and also the picture of the ant. Right? The Bible speaks of the ant that will store up the food in the harvest so that when winter comes, then the ant has enough food during the winter. There's nothing wrong about planning. But now is, are you able to submit to God when things do not go according to your plan? You say, I want to be a professional footballer. That was what I wanted to be when I was young. Okay? I want to be a professional footballer. So I played a lot of football in school. Okay? And then I don't study hard. So I want to be a professional footballer. Now of course, you know, when I look back, I said, in Singapore, you know, be a professional footballer for what? Right? Nobody go and watch the S-League and things like that also. So, but anyway, that's not the reason why I didn't end up being a professional footballer. Anyway, I'm not good enough also. Okay? But I mean, sometimes we have all this plan. But then when you look back, you realize that it's so foolish it is. And when you think all this, you think about all this plan ahead, can you submit when now the Lord directs, not in the way you have planned it? But when the Lord now shows that he wants you to go this way and take the next step that the other way, can you just submit? See, sometimes when we think so far ahead, we become so scared. We become so afraid. You know, we are afraid when things do not go according to plan. When things go out of control. And then we live in a fantasy world of our own imagination and our plan. But this is where God is really teaching us and showing us that the safest place is really to be where God wants you to be right now. You just take one step at a time and then you trust in the Lord. And no matter what happens, God is in control. So will you go, even if you may be afraid? Now, the Bible does not tell us why Jonah did not want to go. And the Bible did not tell us, you know, what was the reason why Jonah did not want to go. But it could be because of his fear. It could be because he was lazy. But for one reason or another, he did not want to go. Then it could be because these were very wicked people. Okay, and he did not want to see these people being saved. But you must not think in this manner. You should just take the step which God wants you to take. And that's how God directs. But at times God directs through circumstances of life as well. You know, I'm very careful in using circumstances because, you know, sometimes we may misinterpret circumstances. But if you understand the circumstances of life, some will call it providence. Okay? They would say the book of God's providence. Okay, that's how God used circumstances. If you read the book of God's providence in light of the book of God's word, then yes, you will be saved. Okay, but don't read too much into circumstances. But God does use circumstances in life to also direct. Often, and all, I would say even always, in light of his word. And then when God shows you and leads you, will you submit? One step at a time, you follow him. That's God's directive view. When God reveals his will, he reveals clearly. He reveals step by step. And when God reveals his will, you must submit. Okay, that's the third thing they want to see. So, in light of God's preceptive will and in light of God's directive will, now the most important thing is, will you submit? Will you obey? Now, one thing we need to understand today is that God does not direct us the same way he directed Jonah. He will not reveal his will to us through visions and dreams anymore. Okay? He will reveal his will to us through his word. He will also reveal his will. He will lead us and direct us also through circumstances of life. But regardless of how God reveals, will you submit? Where God has placed you now, you are in his will. Would you not do your best? Would you not be who he wants you to be? Would you submit? And that was the problem of Jonah. Jonah goes up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of God. Now you notice the emphasis here that the Bible described is that Jonah was not just running away from a place. And Jonah was not just running away from Nineveh. He was running away from the presence of the Lord. And that's very striking because it tells us that when you run away from God's will, you are running away from the presence of the Lord. Now, of course, we know that no one can really go out of God's will. Okay? Because everything falls within the will of God. But you are now falling out of an aspect of God's will into another aspect of God's will, which we'll call the chastity will of God. Okay? And here you may say that Jonah was running away from the presence of God because with the presence of the Lord comes the blessings of God. With the presence of the Lord comes the guiding of the Lord, the protection of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. When you run away from the presence of the Lord, you are running away from all these things. Now, when we read a passage like that, you see how so foolish Jonah was to run away from the presence of the Lord. But sadly, that's what oftentimes many of us also do. And when you want to pursue your own ambition, when you want to pursue your own desire at the expense of God's direction for you, you're actually running away from the presence of the Lord. And that is emphasized over here because it's repeated twice, the beginning and the end. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And then at the end, he says, he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And we must be very careful. This is also one reason why I said earlier, be very careful in how you read circumstances. See, this thing called open doors or closed doors. We need to be very careful. Because in this case, was there an open door to go to Tarshish? Right? You may say that in a way, there seemed to be an open door to go to Tarshish. He bought a ticket. He found a boat. He found sailors who were willing to bring him to Tarshish. Then you say, wow, open door. And then just because there are obstacles does not mean that it's always closed doors. So be very careful in how you read circumstances. So that's why you must understand first the preceptive will of God, the directive will of God. This is already very clear. God says, go to Nineveh. Then you don't try to now read other things to contradict what God has revealed to you. Now if this is already clear, an open door here is Jonah's own selfish, sinful desire to do his own will. And that's the question that we need to ask. When God reveals, will you submit? Will you obey? I believe that this is, in fact, actually the challenge for most, if not all of us. You know, I personally also have experienced this, that the struggle oftentimes when I reflect on my Christian walk is not so much not knowing what God's will is. I mean, if I know where God wants me to be now, then why don't I just do my best now? Why do I keep looking for an aspect which God has not revealed? And then when God has revealed, the question now is whether you would obey. Because when God reveals, it may not be according to how you plan it, how you imagine it to be, but will you obey? And that will be the best for you. I know that some of you may feel that, oh, I'm still very young, I'm still just only a teen. But these are principles that and convictions that you must settle upon even at your age. Because even now, I believe that you already have to make decisions in life. Some bigger decisions and some smaller decisions. And you know the frightening thing is that sometimes running away from God does not appear very obvious. I mean, there are those who run away from God very obviously, you know, like when they run away from God, they take very drastic steps. And then they really withdraw themselves from service, from fellowship, from prayer, that kind of running away from God. But there are also those very subtle ways of running away from God. They still look like they are here. They still look like they are serving. They still look like they are active. But actually, their heart, they know that they are living in disobedience. They know that they have already disobeyed God's will. And they still can go on, you know, for a while. But they have already been running away from God. And even at your age, you have to learn, even in the little decisions, to be sensitive to the precepts of God, the preceptive will of God, the directive will of God, and then to follow it, and then to obey it. So that in time, you know, when there are even bigger decisions, major life decisions, you are already very sensitive to the will of God. Where you will know how to discern, how to obey, and what to follow. See, I think the problem with some of us is that we think that doing the will of God is only when it comes to the big and major things in life. Okay? Finding a life partner, then we discern God's will. Okay? Choosing a school, then we discern God's will. Choosing a job, then we discern God's will. Okay, the major things in life. So actually, we only have three things in life to discern God's will about, right? Okay, maybe which church to worship in, also another one. It's like so few. But actually, if you think about it, the discerning of God's will and the obeying of God's will, rather, is a day-to-day thing. Right? Every day in your life, there are little battles that you have to fight. And in these little things, you have to learn to obey God's will. And now when you obey God's will consistently, when you are very sensitive to the prompting of God, the leading of God, the word of God, you are very discerning and you have the wisdom of God's word, then when it comes to major decisions in life, it will be easier. And God will direct and God will lead because you have been obeying consistently. See, if you have been living a life of disobedience consistently, then now when it comes to these major decisions in life, it will be so complicated for you. Because you have been living a life of disobedience. And you have really been living a life where you're unwilling to submit to God's will. And naturally, when it comes to these major decisions, you are confused. Because the problem is, you refuse to obey. So don't run away from God's will. God reveals through His precepts. And when God directs, He directs you step by step. You follow Him one step at a time. Don't try to look too far into the future. Even when you think about the future, you submit it to the Lord. You surrender it to the Lord. That if things do not turn out the way you imagine or plan it to be, you say, I will now submit. I surrender all this to the Lord. God leads you and directs you step by step. And the only question now is whether, when God reveals, will you obey? Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou, as our loving God, has revealed Thy will to us. And we thank Thee that Thy will is not confusing, complicated, and troublesome. But we thank Thee that Thy will for us is always loving, is always filled with mercy and grace. And O Lord, teach us then to always walk in the center of Thy will. For there's no happier place Thy children can be than to be in the center of Thy will. or not even in our teenage years. May you help us to walk in thy will, even in the little decisions that we make every day. Help us to obey thee and submit to thee, for we know that we will then enjoy the blessings of thy presence with us. We thank thee for this teens camp. We thank thee for how we can gather here to study thy word. We pray even as we break for a time of discussion, you will help us to reinforce the lessons that we have learned today. Hear this our prayer, for we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.